Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Shvois Yud Beis. We begin 13 lines off the top of the Amud. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak. Umoide Rabbi Shimon. Even Rabbi Shimon would agree, b'seirei chatos. So this relates back to yesterday where we learned a chiddush, that according to Rabbi Shimon, what happens to these surplus animals which were originally designated for Korban Tamid, which is a form of Korban Oila? It's the daily, you know, fare, Tamid in the morning, Tamid in the afternoon, and there's some leftover from last year's stock, because every year we're meant to purchase new stock from new funds collected in the most recent, Machzas HaShekel collection. That's the halacha. You meant to use new funds for the new stock. So comes Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is the beginning of this, system, so to speak. What happens to the old animals that are left over? No problem. Kayit HaMazbeach. Apply it as a carbon oilam. Kayit HaMazbeach, like a dessert for the Mizbeach, when there's perhaps an idle moment on the Mizbeach. We take these animals and I'm makriv them as a korban oila, a public donation. Says the Gemara, this chiddush that you can take a korban which was meant for a tamid, although it's a form of oila, but it's a specific type of oila, korban tamid. It required, daily korban. You can shift it, you can redirect it. If it's unneeded, you can redirect it and use it as a oila donation without any need to redeem it, to convert it into money. And no, you can take the actual animal itself and use it for that sake. But that is specific to a korban tamid, which had been, left over, because that's really a form of an oila. So that was meant for an oila, and now you're applying it for an oila as well, although a slightly different variation of oila, but it's close enough to the original designation. However, Umayd Rav Shimon, even Rabbi Shimon would agree in a slightly different case, b'seirei chatos. Perhaps you have a leftover chatos. So you thought it went missing and you substituted the missing chatos with a new chatos. This is the public chatos, a korban tzibur. Let's say the so'ir of, of Yom Kippur or Rosh Chodesh. Turns out you find the old one, and you have an extra one. What do we do with that extra one? So that too should be applied as kayet ha-mezbeach, as dessert for the mezbeach, redirected as a korban oila. So you would think you could take this actual soyer chatos, which was left over, and use it as an oila. No. In this case, she'ein makitzen begufan, you can't actually use the actual animal which was originally designated for chadas and reapplied as an oila. Ela b'dmein, in this case, you have to convert it to money. Allow it to get a blemish, to get a mum, and then sell it, take the money, and buy with it an oilas nedava, a kayet ha-mezbeach. Why? Why is it different in this case? Why can't you just take the same goat and redirect it as an oila? The answer is like this. Min ha-Torah, you should be able to do that. But there's a difference between this one and the tamid leftover. Hacha hudemi ikara oila, by the extra tamid, by the surplus to midim. Since initially, the mi'ikara oila was originally intended for an oila, v'hashta oila, now you're, again, being makriv as an oila, although, slightly different type of form of oila, but it's close enough to the original, no problem, go for it. Aval hasam, but over there by the leftover chatas, the mikor chatas originally was a chatas, v'hashta oila, now you're trying to use it as an oila? Min ha-Torah, you can do it, but midrabbana, we're concerned about confusing people. Gezerah, there's a concern if we allow it to be redirected as an oila l'acha kapar, after you've already substituted this missing chatas with a new chatas and was makrivit on the mizbeach, and now it's really left over, unneeded, unnecessary. Where now, legally, it can be used as an oila, That's all good and true, but there's a concern that people might not realize that it's all a matter of timing. 10 minutes ago, it was not yet valid for an oilo, because 10 minutes ago, otu lifnei kapara, it might lead them to do that before kapara as well, right? So what happened was there was a soir chatas, meant for a chatas. It went missing. You substituted that one with a new one. Soir chatas B, let's call it. And now you've been makriv, soir chatas B, and now you find the old one. That's fine, that's lacha kapara. It's too late to be used. Really, you should be okay directing it for the oila purposes. But there's a concern that perhaps you'll do the same before kapar, before you will makrev chatos B, the substitute, in which case, at this point, chatos A is still eligible. Because he wasn't yet replaced. The new one wasn't yet brought as a chatos. So technically, he's still eligible. He's still suitable for chatos as well. Now you take him and you use him as an oila, that's a problem. It's not yet left over. In this case, it would be possible because you're taking something which is meant for a chatas and diverting it to an oila. So because of this concern, that people might confuse matters, not realize it's a matter of minutes, Chachamim say, you know what? Do not redirect it as an oila. Rather, you should take it and allow it to get a mum, which downgrades its status, of course. It becomes only Kaddish Ledamav, Kaddish for its value, and then go and sell it and use the money to rebuy a new Karban Oila. So again, we have this distinction between leftover Tamidin, which can be personally redirected for and used as an Oila, as a donation Oila, whereas a leftover Chatos shouldn't be done that way because there's a concern that it might happen prematurely before it's eligible for that, while it's still a full-fledged chatas, in which case turning it into oila makes it possible. So there we say the actual animal shouldn't be directed as an oila, rather convert it and then rebuy with the money. Amar Abaye, I'll prove this point from a brisa that we discussed actually yesterday. Afanana mitanila, right? Remember this brisa? Parvis sor shkalam kippurim. You have the set, the cow, and the Sir of Yom Kippur, which were Karban Chatas. Shabdu, they went missing. V'hifrish Shachem Tachteim. And he set aside substitutes, replacements. And then we found the old ones. V'chein, another example, Tziri Avodah Zarah Shabdu, the Karban Chatas meant for Avodah Zarah violations, which also went missing. V'hifrish Shachem Tachteim, and he substitutes another one instead. And you find the old ones. What happens to the old ones? Kulon Yemusu, they're left to die. That's the halacha of Meshem Sinai, because this is a chatas sheniskapru ba'alei ba'acheres, a chatas whose owner no longer needs them because he has another kapar from a different source. So the halacha is misa. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So not only does the halacha of Meshem Sinai apply to private karbanis, even to public karbanis such as this karban chatas. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon, Oimrim, they disagree. The halacha of Meshem Sinai, which dictates that this type of chatas goes l'misa, that's specific to a personal carbon, not a public carbon. Therefore, in this case, although there's no misa, but you can't be makrev it directly, rather, yiru achi yistav, let them run around and pasture until they get a blemish, v'yimachron, have them sold, v'yiplu, the main lindav, and take the money and put it into the a public donation pushka, where the money is used to purchase those karbonis oila mentioned before for kaitz mezbeach, to fill the mezbeach when needed. Why this method? She'ein chatas sibur meisa. It's a public chatas. There's no din of misa on that. Okay, so it's not going to misa. Rather, it's meant to be sent to the nedava treasury. The question is, hold it. Why go through that whole process of converting it and rebuying? Just use the actual surplus chatas as a nadav, as an oila. Vamai, nikrivu inhu gufayu oila. Let the actual animal itself be used as an oila. Why go through the whole three-step process? Elohav shma. You know, clearly we learn from here, we see that by a chatas, there's a risk of prematurity and missing the timing. Gzeira l'acha kapara atofne kapara is a concern that it might be done too early, while it's still a an active chatas. And therefore, we don't allow it. Amar Rava, afanana mitanin. I'll bring you a proof as well from another halacha. This is a Mishnah in Yuma. So we have the pair, the two goats, Sa'ir La'Hashem, Sa'ir La'Azazel, the one that's Chatas Apnimi, and the one that's been sent out to the mountain there. Let's say the Sa'ir La'Azazel goes missing. Okay, now we have the Sa'ir La'Hashem standing, but he's just one alone. So we have to designate a new couple, a new set. That's the halacha. It has to have a new system of a lottery and all that. So we designate two more animals. One is to replace the missing Sa'ir La'Azazel, but now we have two Sa'ir La'Hashems, two chatois. What happened to the extra one? V'asheni, so the second one, Yirat Shistov, let it go until it gets a mum, v'yimocher, sold, v'yipul dovim dovo, and it's going to be used to purchase the oila for the mizbeach. V'amai, same question here, yikariv, let the animal itself use it as an oila. Why go through this whole conversion process? Apparently, by a chatas, we don't allow it. El lav shmami. No, gzero, there's a gzero lacha kapara. If you allow it now, once it's been deemed surplus, once the first one has been offered and this one is surplus, you might allow it. At this point, it might come to do so earlier too. Ato pnei kapara, you might do it before the replacement was brought, in which case, they're both standing and both eligible, and you can't, at this point, take anyone and use it as an oila. So since one thing might lead to the next, we don't allow it to be used as an oila even after it's been determined to be merely surplus. I'll bring you another raya. Another halacha. Asham shemesu balav. Asham is skapru balav. A fellow has an asham, and the owner passes away. Or somehow he replaced it with another carbon. Suppose this one missing, and he designated another one, and then this one turns up. So the halacha is any situation, any circumstance whereby a carbon chatas, the chatas would go limisa, such as a case of niskapru balav, if the owner had a kapara from elsewhere. By an asham, we don't apply the same strict rules. In this case, it doesn't go limisa, yirachi yistoy, vimacher, vipul damun davar. Rather, the halacha is that you let it get a mum, sell it, and use the money to purchase the oila donations for the mizbeach. Like we said before, it's a public donation used to keep the mizbeach sort of active all the time. That's the shita of Tanakama. Rabbi Lezer Omer Yomus. According to Rabbi Lezer, an usham has the same status like a chatas. Just like if in a similar circumstance by a chatas, misa would apply, likewise by the usham. Rabbi Shua Omer, he goes pretty much like the Tanakama. There's no misa. We send him out to the pasture, let him get a mum, use the money to purchase yami yavi bedam of oila. Use it to buy yourself an oila for the mizbeach. And Rashi explains it's a bit different because it's a personal oila. In contrast to the Tanakama, who says it goes into the public treasury and used as a public donation, which does not require personal attendance. He doesn't have to be there. He doesn't have to bring the sachem. Right here, it's a personal oila. It's your personal donation, which requires you to be there to do smicha, to bring the nesachem yavi bedam of oila. Same question applies here. Why go through the whole process? Take the actual surplus asham, use it as an oila. Apparently we're concerned about ill timing. So we have a total of three rayas to this point. Again, what's the chiddush? Chiddush was that although surplus karbonas are meant to be used as kaitza mezbeach, public donations, but to actually use the leftover carbon for an oila, that's only allowed by a tamid, which in itself is a form of oila. So it's pretty close enough, to the original designation, original intent. You can redirect it as an oila. But something which was a chatas and is now left over, here we have a concern because it's left over now and unneeded today, perhaps, if we go back in time, 10 minutes before, it was still available to be used as a carbon because the other one hadn't yet been brought instead. So at that point, if it would be diverted to an oil, it would be possible. We're concerned about mixing that up and causing confusion. So we say, look, don't take the actual leftover chatas and use it as an oil, rather convert it into money, etc. Tanya, we find the same in a brisa. that according to Reb Shimon, we take the leftover Korban Tamid from last year and we apply it as a gift for the Mizbeach. Tanna mihochi mahim nevim and amoisos. What do we do with the surplus Korbanos from last year? Kayetz. Kibnei shuach ha-mizbeach. Kayetz is like a dessert. The figs are called kayetz, sweet, and kibnei shuach, like the type of fig which serves as a dessert. La mizbeach, to mizbeach. The Gemara at this point figures that it meant literally to take the money from those leftover kabanis, you convert it into money, and use it to purchase figs for the mizbeach. Figs? That's something sweet. You're not allowed to. V'oksiv, the pasuk says, kichol se'or v'chol dvash. You're not allowed to. Bring honey, and Rashi says, kol minei peiros ha'ilan b'chlal, all fruit are included in that. Anything sweet, you're not allowed to be makar v'dan mizbeach. No, that's not what we meant. Tani Rav Chanina. So Rav Chanina explained, Kibnei Shruach, just an example. It's just a... Kibnei Shruach la'adam. Just as a person enjoys figs for desserts, so these leftover behemoths are offered as karbonos oyla on the mizbeach, like a dessert to the mizbeach, to keep it active, to keep it from being idle, and this is out of respect to the mizbeach. It should be constantly processing karbonos. So this correlates with the chiddush of Rabbi Yechon yesterday that the surplus karbonis tamid are offered as oilois kayetz lemezbeich. Dorosh Rav Nachman Rav Chisda. Here comes a chiddush. Ein mekitzin bo'ilas saif. When we speak about kayetz lemezbeich, so the public oilo offerings, the donations for the mezbeich, that's specific to animals. You can't purchase a bird for this purpose. Why? Amar Rava. Haburcha. This is just made up. Amar Rav Nachman Ritzel. What do you mean? The Rava. My burcha, sir. Why are you negating this statement? It's very true. Ano, actually, I'm to blame. I'm the one who told it to him. Ano, I'm Risa Niale. And actually, I heard it from a great man, Mushmeid Rav Simi Menardo. I said it in his name. I'm Risa Nele. I said it in his name. The Omer of Simi Menardo. So I told it to him the name of Rav Simi. As he had said, Moistrois Lundavas Tzibur Asli. Leftovers are meant to be directed to the public Nadava, fund. So basically he's referring back to our most recent discussion with the extra Asham. According to Tanakama, it's a public donation. According to Rabbi Yeshua, it's meant as a private donation. So we're going with the system that it's all public donations. Any leftover goes into the public fund. And if that's the case, you can't use it to purchase birds because the public cannot offer birds. That's the halacha. Rashi says it's based on a pasuk. V'yikriv min ha-toyrim. Only an individual can offer a bird. Hayachad may be oif, says Rashi. Be'inat tzibur, may be an oif. A bird is not something that a tzibur can bring. Only animals, right? Back to the Gemara. Ve'ein oilas oif betzibur. There's no oilas oif. There's no bird oila coming from the community. So it must be used strictly for animals. Says the Gemara. Back to the halacha of Rabbi Yechonon, who told us that according to Rabbi Shimon, the leftover karbonos tamid from last year are redirected and used as oilois kayetz mizbeach. Vav Shmuel sov lelod Rabbi Yechonon, and Shmuel also concurs with this halacha. The Rabbi Dama Shmuel karbonos tzibur, public karbonos, sakid moishachton demashehen, the knife during shechita, moishachton pulls it like meshicha, pulls it in, it absorbs it, it redirects it to its intended goal, to what it's meant for. What was he referring to? He's referring to this type of situation as well, where although initially it was meant, this animal was purchased and designated for Korban Tamid, now it's unneeded for that purpose, so the Shechita redirected, so to speak. Since it's sort of close enough, they're both under the Oila umbrella, different variations, but this is a required Korban, this is a donation, it's good enough. It's close enough, and the actual process of Akrava redirects it safely to its intended goal, intended objective. Tanam Yochi, we find the same in the Braisa. Regarding redirecting Karbonos Tzibur to where they're, you know, needed, Moide Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon would agree. Besar, regarding the goats, the chatois we have. The chatas on Yom Kippur, the musaf, the soir hachitzen, we have the soir of Rosh Chodesh, soir of the regal. What happens if it was went missing and you replaced it, now you have an extra one? Can I use it for a different occasion? Can I use the one from Yom Kippur on Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Chodesh on regal and vice versa? No problem. Umoy derab shim besar, shim lekar of a regal. If you happen not to use it for Yom Tov and it's here, and here it's Rosh Chodesh, you cut up Rosh Chodesh, bring it on Rosh Chodesh, no problem. Wasn't brought on Rosh Chodesh. You cut up Yom Kippurim, right? If the one of Rosh Chodesh wasn't brought then, bring it on Yom Kippur. You cut up Yom Kippurim, the one of Yom Kippur is extra. You cut up a regal, bring it on a Yom Tov, etc., etc. You cut up a regal, you cut up a regal achad, wasn't brought on this Yom Tov, you could save it for the next Yom Tov. You know why? Although they have slightly different designations, as we learned in the Mishnah, they have specified roles. They cleanse for certain specific, tumas migdash transgressions, although they're slightly different in terms of their objective, but ultimately they all have a common goal. Because ultimately all these karbonis, all the musafin of the soir of Yom Kippur, etc., they're coming to be mechaper al mizbeach hachitzoin, to atone on the external mizbeach, to atone for migdash related tumois. So they have some commonality, even though they're not exactly on the same track, but they're close enough, and therefore they allow for sharing and mixing and matching. So we see this concept that even though it was originally designated for something slightly different, you can divert it as long as it's close enough to the original intent. Likewise, the extra carbon tumet from last year can be redirected to Eloi's Kayetz HaMizbeach. Okay, so in a nutshell, what happens to the surplus karbonis from last year's tamid? No problem. Kontra b'shimen, oilois kaitz ha-mizbeach, dessert from mizbeach. It's an oila, and it's close enough to the original intent. What about leftover chatas? Theoretically, the same would apply, but there's a gzera that it might be done too quickly before it's considered, before it's deemed surplus, while it's still available for akrava, and therefore, in this case, we put the brakes on the process, and we require you to go and get a mum and sell it, and then redirect it to Kayetz HaMizbeach. Okay. Val Zodoin Tumas Migdash HaKadoshav Sor HaNasa Bifnim. So back to the Mishnah where we learned that the Sor HaPnimi, the Sor Chatos HaPnimi of Yom Kippur, will address even intentional violations of Tumas Migdash HaKadoshav. One entered the Migdash, we ate a carbon betuma, it addresses that. And this, of course, is in addition to the Tumas Migdash HaKadosh B'Shogeg, as we mentioned back in the Mishnah and subsequent Dafim, we learned that in a case where there was Yidia B'Tchila, some awareness before the fact, but unawareness after the fact, so that too is addressed by this carbon. So it has a double role. Tosis actually has a kasha, because if you recall the other day we had a pasuk that this sar only atones for one issue, right? Achas Pasha. Tosis says, yeah, one inadvertent issue, one mistake which would be addressed by a carbon, typically. So this carbon only addresses one of those. But here we're speaking about one issue which is b'shogeg, which is typically carbon-related, right? Shogeg generates carbon. And in addition to that, it also addresses zodin, even intentional violation. That's a totally different realm, totally different track. And in fact, both are covered by this carbon. But not immediately. How do we know this is true, that a Soir HaPnimi addresses both issues? The Tanur Rabbanon v'chiper al HaKodesh, right? This was the pasuk we had by the Soir HaPnimi. Mitumais bnei Yisrael. And it says, Mipish Ehem, Pesha is something done intentionally. L'chol chatosim. Chatos is something b'shoigig. So it covers both aspects. Pishoyim says the Gemara Eil HaMerodim, something done intentionally. Merod means in a rebellious form. V'cheinu Omer, as the pasuk says, Melech Moya Pasha Bi, this was Yehoram, the king of Melech Yisrael, who complained to Yehoshaphat, the Melech Yehuda, the king of Moya Pasha Bi, he rebelled against me. V'Omer, there's another pasuk, a similar pasuk, describing a city called Livna. which rebelled against the king of Yehuda, Oz Tivsha. Va'imar Oz Tivsha, Livna Ba'isahi, so Livna was Tivsha, rebelled. So we see that Pasha is something intentional, purposeful. And the Pasuk says that the carbon is Mechaper and Peshoim, that covers Zodoin, Tumas, Mikdash, Gdosh, and likewise, a case of Shoigeg. Because the Pasuk says, L'chol chatoisam. And chatos, right, chatois, elosh gogis, refers to inadvertent violations of chenu omer, as the Pasuk says, nefesh kisechta, so we have loshen chet, synonymous with the word vishgoga. So we see, chet is a shaykh. Al shar averos shebetur. What are the other types of averos that a person may have? What addresses those? So the Mishnah says, we have a catch-all. We have the soir hamishtaleich on Yom Kippur, covers everything. And the Mishnah gives us a whole long list of items. So if we take a quick look back at the Mishnah, Beis HaMidbeis, we see an interesting thing. It seems to be a sort of a repetition, a redundancy. So the section there is at line number 13 off the bottom. Al-Shar Averos Shebetorah, back on the Beis HaMidbeis. So we have HaKalos, you know, the lighter ones. Vachamuris, the more severe ones. Hasdainis, intentional. Vashkogis, mistakes. Hoida, ones that he's aware of. Veloy Hoida, that he's unaware of. Asay, that's a Mrs. Asay. Veloy's Asay. Krisus, something which carries Kuris, a very severe sin. Umi says Bez, something which carries Mises Bez. Now, it would seem like we're just repeating ourselves, because if we go back to the beginning, the first item is Kalis. Kalis means the lighter ones, Asay and Lois Asay, right? And Chamburis means the most severe ones, Kares and Mrs. Bezen. And we go back and rename them again later. Why the repetition? Then we go on to say, Hasdoinois Vashkogis, purposeful and unintentional one. Well, that's exactly the next point. Hoida Valoy Hoida, he knew he didn't know. So isn't this all one big repetition? That's the kasha. Okay? So let's go back to our daf, Yibbeis and Beis. At the two dots, Al Shar Averos Shebetorah, Kalos, Vachomeris, Hasdoin, Hashkogis. We're just repeating ourselves. Hainu Kalos. What is the definition of Kalos? Lighter ones, the less severe ones. Hainu Asay Velois Asay. That assumes to be the Asay and Lois Asay. What is Chamuris? More severe ones. Hainu Krisis, Umisis Besn. Okay. What is Hoida Veloy Hoida? Hoida we assume is Hainu Mezin. He realized what he was doing. Loy Hoida means it was unintentional. Hainu Shogig. So we're just repeating ourselves. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. No. Not so fast. It's a progressive description. Look, Hachikama, the Mishnah means like this. Ashar, Avir, Shebetor, other violations. Ben Kalos, whether it's lighter ones, Asay and Lois Asay, which the Mishnah will come back later to define for us. And then we proceed. Ben Chamures, or more severe ones, like a person who ate forbidden fats. Now within that, we have to explain. So now we're just elaborating on Chamures. We're not going on to the next category. Within Chamuris, we have to elaborate. Bein she'asam b'shogig, whether he ate the chalev unknowingly, Rashi explains, shogig doesn't mean a regular shogig. He ate it, I realized I ate, because that would trigger a korban chatas. Now, a korban chatas will never be done away with through Yom Kippur. Even after Yom Kippur, you still have to bring the same chatas. Yom Kippur doesn't cover for that. Rather, we're speaking about a suffix. Suppose there were two pieces in front of him. One was chalev, forbidden fat. One was permissible fat, called shuman. Not sure which one he ate. That would trigger a special carbon called an asham tali because of the uncertainty involved. It's a potentially very severe violation, but it's uncertain. It's a suffix. It's unknown. Halacha is that a fellow who's chayve asham tali, who experienced Yom Kippur wipes it away. It does away with that obligation. And that's what we're talking about. We're focusing right now on Chamuris, more severe issues, with an element of uncertainty. Ben she'asam b'shogig, whether he did it unknowingly, meaning it's a suffix whether he did it or not. Or ben she'asam b'meizid, or he did it intentionally. So this too will be addressed by Yom Kippur. Whether it's something which carries kares, or something which carries death by bezin, mises bezin, and there's no warning or whatever technical anomaly which would not allow the Bezin to address it. So what happens to these sins? Yom Kippur will take care of it. And the mission continues further. Back to the case of uncertainty. The ones that were uncertain, whether he realized that he had that uncertainty, whether it came to his, you know, awareness before Yom Kippur. Ooh, it was a question there, right? Or perhaps he didn't even realize that this episode occurred until after Yom Kippur. Either way, Yom Kippur will cover for that. And then the Mishnah actually goes back to explain those terms. We spoke about kalos and chamuros, veilim and kalos, what are called kalos, the lighter ones, aseh v'leis aseh. He violated a mitzvah aseh or leis aseh. Veilim and chamuros, what defines chamuros? Things which are more severe, which generate punishment of kares, right, krisus, or umisa is best. So initially we thought it's just one big repetition. No. It's a progressive description and definition of terms. So bottom line is Yom Kippur addresses kalos, aseh v'leis aseh, chamuros, which are krisus, umisa is best, which happened either b'mezid or b'safek. We're not sure whether he actually experienced it, was a suffix involved, which would generate an Asham Tali, and Yom Kippur covers for that. Okay, now let's relate back to Mitzvah Saseh. Hay Aseh Yechidam. We see Yom Kippur covers for Mitzvah Saseh. How? Either of a tshuva, if he hadn't done the tshuva personally, how could Yom Kippur and the carbon of Yom Kippur, speaking about the, specifically here about the Soir La'azazel, right? That's what the Mishnah is talking about, the Yom Kippur in conjunction with the a goat that's thrown off the mountain, will take care of it. Zevach Roshayim Ta'eva, a carbon brought by a Rosh, a person who's obstinate in his errant ways, is repulsive. It's not acceptable. It's not going to do the trick. Ida Avat Shuvah, on the other hand, if he did the Shuvah on the mitzvah to say that he violated, then you don't need Yom Kippur. Kol Yom Hanami. You can have Shuvah every day of the year. The Sanya, the Brisa says, Avar Al Mitzvah Saseh, person transgressed the mitzvah saseh, vasa tshuva. I did tshuva. Sorry, Hashem, for bittul Torah. I'm sorry. That's it. It's done. It's forgotten. Lo yedaz misham, ad shemoichen lo. He doesn't leave until he gets mechila. It's automatic system. We don't need Yom Kippur. Amar Rav Zeira, b'ayim b'merida. You're right. We're speaking that he did not do tshuva. He's sticking to his errant, rebellious ways. As for your question, how could the carbon address this obstinate fellow? The answer is it could. The Rebbe, we're going like Shitas. Rebbe who says the experience is greater than the man. The Sani Rebbe, Oymar Kol Averish B'Teira. On any Avera Bein Asat Tshuva, Bein Lo Asat Tshuva, Yom Kippur Mechaper. Whether or not a person does the Tshuva, Yom Kippur with its holy experience elevates the person and cleanses his sins together with the, you know, the Karbonis. If we have three exceptions, Chutz Mipayrik Oil, the person who is Kaifer Be'ikr, denies Hashem's existence, Mgalapon B'Teira. He denigrates the Torah, umefer bris v'basar, he violates the bris, meaning he doesn't have a bris milah. For these three, it's not an automatic Yom Kippur cleansing process. Shemasa teshuva, on these three, if he did teshuva, then Yom Kippur is mechaper on him. Vimla, but otherwise, eini mechaper mechaper, Yom Kippur on its own can't do the trick. Eini mechaper mechaper, my time with the Rebbe, where's Rebbe coming from? Why are we singling out these three? The sanya, kidvar Hashem basa. Pasuk says, person was mevazed var Hashem, denigrates the word of Hashem, he kares, they kares, very terrible consequence. It's referring to these three situations. Why? Because var Hashem, says Rashi, is the one word of Hashem. What was the single message that we got directly from Hashem? That was the first one of the Aseres Hadiris, Hanech Hashem Lekecha. Don't go, worship idols. So he's mevazed that var Hashem, meaning he's rejecting Hashem's existence, Hashem's zaparik oil, umegalapan b'Torah. A person who denigrates the Torah, that's also dvar Hashem baza, mevaza the word of Hashem. And the next part of the pasuk, that's mitzvah soi, something unique, a certain unique mitzvah heifar. He violated that. What's a unique mitzvah that we have? Something which stands out, that's the bris milah, which was given, you know, the only mitzvah given to Avraham Avinu. And that's the mitzvah that the pasuk is referring to, is Amefer bris v'basar. And what's the consequence? What's the result? Hikaris tikaris. What's the duplicate? Hikaris tikaris. Says Rebbe, Hikaris v'fnei makipurim, tikaris l'achay v'makipurim. Regarding these three, whether it's before or after Yom Kippur, it doesn't get addressed. So these things are, you know, severe and powerful, and they outlast Yom Kippur. Yochel afilo asa tshuva. Oh, perhaps, let's say he did the tshuva. What happens then? Tamud loy ma'avoy nabo. This only holds true when the cher is still there. Loy ma'ati. This is only true el bezman shavoy nabo, when the person is stuck to his errant ways. But if he does the tshuva with Yom Kippur, it can be taken care of. Okay, so that answers our question. We see Yom Kippur takes care of mitzvah saseh. He did the shuvah, he doesn't need Yom Kippur. He didn't do the shuvah, could Yom Kippur help him? It can help him. As long as it doesn't fall under the category of these three averes. Now the Rabbanan disagree. They hold that Yom Kippur only works with the shuvah. So why is the pasuk singling out these three violations? What's unique about them? The answer is, according to Rabbanan, the pasuk is not related to Yom Kippur at all. It's not related to the Yom Kippur experience. Rather, it relates to a person who's experiencing his own misa, a person who dies. Typically that misa is memari, cleanses him from all types of averis. Even without the teshuva. Except for these three, where teshuva is a prerequisite to allow misa to cleanse him. Rabbanan, hikares b'olam hazeh, tekares b'olam haba, a double lashon, hikares addresses this world and the next. Meaning even after he passes on to the next world, where typically the misa experience would atone for his averus, except for these three, if he did not teshuva, right? As it continues, avayin abba, only when the oven is intact, she must have teshuva, but if he did teshuva, umes, and he passed away, yep, then he's taking care of misa, the experience of death, is in itself a cleansing process, and in fact, it is marakas. Okay, so let's recap today's daf. Leftover karbanos tamid can be redirected and used for oilos, L'kayit ha-mizbeach, the public, oil donations to the mizbeach, likewise the leftover karbanos chatas, but there we have to go through a several step process to downgrade them and convert them into funds, repurchase new animals. We're concerned about confusions, and therefore we require this process. We learned about the Chsoir HaPnimi of Yom Kippur addresses Shkoga and Zadayin. And regarding the Sarah Mishtalech, it addresses everything left behind. Kalois, Chamurois, Krisis, Mises, Bezen, where there is a Suffolk involved, where there would be a Asham Toloi. And once he passes by Yom Kippur, it's all taken care of. And according to the last piece here, we're going like Shitas Rebbe, who says Yom Kippur alone, even without a person's Teshuva, can cleanse him of his Averis, as long as it doesn't fall under those category of those three severe sins. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.